We will read from God's Word, from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 7, first 18 verses. Judge not, that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye mete, it shall be measured to you again. Why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, Let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then thou shalt see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs. Neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For every one that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you, whom if his son ask bread, will give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good gifts to them that ask him? Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that man should do to you, do ye even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets. Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth into life, and few there be that find it. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns, or figs of thistles? Even so every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. So far the reading of God's precious word.
Which I may preach out of the scripture we've read with the help of the Lord is out of Matthew 7, verses 13 and 14. Matthew 7, verses 13 and 14. Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way, that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way, which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. The theme this afternoon, this evening is an urgent advice on the journey of life. And we will look at three points of attention. In the first place, two ways. In the second place, two types of travelers. And lastly, two destinations. An urgent advice of Lord Jesus himself on the journey of our life. We are all on it. And Lord Jesus says, His advice is about two ways, a broad way and a narrow way, about two types of travelers. Many are on the broad way, many there which go in thereat, verse 13. And there are also people on the narrow way, few dare be find it, verse 14. And the last place, destination, two destinations. Because we read about destruction, that's the first destination, verse 13. But on the other side, opposite of it, life, verse 14. There are many kinds of way, our first point, two ways. Many kind of ways in life, going your life, arranging your life. Oh, so many choices. Younger people have to make so much choices themselves, every time and again, so early at school, in your education, your first job, your second step in career. Where do you live? Where do you travel? So many choices, again and again. And then the question, do I miss something? Am I too late to make a choice? The world is pressing, gives a big pressure on you. And now the Lord here is also with an urgent advice on which way to choose. But it's not about a choice out of many. It's not like in the world that all ways are open and every way is your own choice. You make it. There are only two ways, in essence. One way is the good direction, and the other way is deeply bad. Maybe not in the beginning. Maybe not in the going on. However, soon you will experience it's not the best way. Because the best thing in this life, misery and sadness, Psalm 90, Moses. But you will notice it afterwards. If you end on that broad way about the Lord Jesus has spoken, it's a very sad end. Lord Jesus says it's destruction. Here, it's a lesson out of a long sermon of Lord Jesus, preaching from the mount. A mount is 12 disciples around him, and below them, the masses from Galilee, people who were hungry for words, also for wonders, for miracles, for seeing something, but a lot of people for teaching. And then Lord Jesus is teaching about the best way. It's not enough to be listening. It's very important doing, choosing, before it is too late. How can I make that choice? What's the best choice? It's about two ways and two gates. Maybe you know that famous picture. The picture about a narrow gate and a narrow way behind it. And on the picture is also another gate, very broad gate, and a very broad way after it. We have to choose. As a child, it was in the home of my parents, and I looked at it very often. It's also in our church, and sometimes with catechism lessons, I take it with us. And then we look at that picture and talk about it, just like today. That picture is based on these lessons of Lord Jesus, the Sermon on the Mount, and then especially on this urgent advice, which is command to go, to choose the right direction, two gates. We have to choose. That means we are not on a neutral ground. It's not that we are neutral. You are on the one way or on the other way. You cannot have both of it or none of it. And we have already chosen. And as a child born Oh, that's that great misery of our human beings. Are we born on the broad way? That's due to Adam. And if you see little children going taller, becoming teenagers, becoming adults, then you see they inherited the ability to sin from their parents. We are born on the broad way. Lord Jesus knows. And therefore his urgent advice, choose not to stay, to be on the broad way, but choose the narrow way. If he advises that, then everybody shall do it. All the 12 apostles and all the people below them know. One of the 12 not. Being 3 years with the Lord Jesus, not choosing. Always staying on the broad way. And not the masters of Galilee, many of them left him. It was too difficult. What? Make the choice for the narrow gate. Lord Jesus said, you have to fight to go there. He says that in Luke 13, also in the Sermon on the Mount. Strive to enter in the straight gate. You have to fight. It costs a lot. Two ways. A broad way. It's easy to be on the broad way. You can also see that on the picture. A very broad gate. Very easy to enter. You can just walk through. And much which is attracting on that road. And you can see that on that picture. Maybe it's in your home. I don't know if it's here in the church. Or you can find it on the internet. Broad, a narrow way. And then you see on that road much which is, we call that sins, public sins, gambling, sexual sins, impurities, throwing your life away. And then we say, that's a sinner. He is spoiling his life. And I think that's true. If we point at another, we point also at ourselves, do we? There are also people living a life which is very egocentric, me-centered. Everything must bow, must bend before me. In my career or my colleagues, in my family, my wife, my husband, my children. Everybody must bend. My time is only for my career, for my money. And you're spoiling so much. I think it's a sign of walking on a broad way. I'm not sure that God's people are never in that sin, you know. They're also sinners. But if they have that sin in their life, I'm sure they're not aware, not assured of being on the narrow way. No assurance of faith, but darkness, darkness. And then Lord Jesus said, choose the narrow way. Leave that sins. We can point at others. We can also look at ourselves. Most of us, I hope so, and I'm sure it is, live not in public sins. Maybe in hidden sins. The Lord knows. You know it also yourself. And then Lord Jesus says, enter the narrow gate and listen to my law. Listen to my commands, which is so pure and means the good for you. Listen to it and don't give sin a chance, silencing the voice of the law. Your conscience, which is speaking, which is warning, don't silence that. The Broadway is so much. It's everything which is attracting. You can see that on the picture. The picture is from the 19th century or the beginning of the 20th century. Much of modern sins are not on that. Sins like spoiling your time only with big screens or small screens and social media and just only doing that and going up in that and in the world and in everything and forgetting to have time for the Lord. Forgetting being quiet. Stopping the silence, which God is asking for us, you know, tomorrow, this morning, about silence. Silence is so important. First lessons for the disciples, for John the Baptist himself, for his disciples, for all of us. First lesson, silence. Be quiet. My soul, be quiet to the Lord. Are you afraid of silence? Afraid of silence then bringing unrest in your heart? And then going on the broad way, you can forget that unrest, that restless heart, which is always bringing questions up. If you all have much to do, and to see, to listen at, then you can forget being on the broad way. It can also be in religion, being on the broad way. Because notice, to whom Lord Jesus is speaking here. To his 12 disciples and also all those people from Galilee, all people, the Jews, brought up by parents, maybe God-fearing parents, maybe parents listening, children listening, knowing a lot of Moses, the books of the Old Testament, Jews. And Lord Jesus, see, a lot of those people can be on the broad way. He said it here in the Word. There are only a few on the narrow way. Also, of all that listeners, which are a Jew and knowing God's commands but not doing it, only hearing superficial, not with their heart with it, that can be. And living in self-righteousness, in fulfilling the law yourself. I do it myself. I don't need righteousness from another. I think of that boy at school, for instance. To show the error of many of the Jews, the boy at school, he's working so hard, doing his best in so many things. And then his teacher comes and says, well done, you'll manage. I think it's how it works at school. And I'm glad many children are working hard at school, that's good. With the talents God gave you. But in the kingdom of the Lord, it's in another way, you know. You may work hard, but working hard and thinking I manage is a mistake. Working hard means not you manage it. I think if the Lord shows us, losing own power, own effort, and blessed with his blessings, righteousness from Lord Jesus. What a great blessing. The religion on the broad way, working in our own power, not needing grace, not needing a Savior. And now, Lord Jesus has an advice. Leave the broad way, enter in the straight gate. There is another way. There is a narrow way. There's a broad way. There's a narrow way. The other way is so narrow. And there's also a gate. Just at the beginning. But that gate is not that broad. You cannot walk in easily. It's very narrow. It's an image from cities in the Middle Eastern, just like Jerusalem and other cities. They had walls and gates. And during the day, a big gate was opened. And everybody could come in and leave the city. But then night came. And then the big gate was closed. But there was a small gate. It was mostly in the doors of that big gate, of just beside of it. A narrow gate, a narrow door. And then a traveler is coming. It's late. May I come in? He's coming with his camels. He's a trader. Loaded with packages. May I come in? And then the people from the city say, no, the big gate is closed. But they say, may I enter the narrow gate? Yes, you may. Come in. And then he comes with his camels. And as a tall man, he cannot come in himself. He has to bow, he has to bend. And then comes his camel. His camel cannot come in. Maybe on its knees. The camel can go through its knees. But however, if that packages are on the camel, the camel cannot come in. The man has to stay outside. Or he has to unpack the camel and bring everything through the narrow gate on his knees, bowing. You have to strive. You have to fight. You have to strive to enter the narrow gate. Narrow, in the Greek, is used the word stenos, which means not only narrow, but also hurting. Just like on a narrow path in the mountains, hardly any space to go, with rocks very raw, you have short trousers and, oh, it's hurting your legs, you know. Bleeding. But you must go. You go further with only bleeding wounds. That's the word stenos. It's hurting you. Coming, entering in the narrow gate means oppression. At the gate, but also further on. Very difficult to enter this narrow gate. Oh, then nobody will enter? Oh, Lord Jesus says, please, I've had such an urgent advice on your way of life. Please enter just this gate, this narrow gate. Because this narrow gate is me. It's myself. He says that. For instance, in the Gospel of John. I am the door. I am the way. Everybody who enters the door enters life. Everybody who is on me, on my way, is living my life, my life. I give it. Because I'm not only the door, I'm not only the way, I'm also the life. Entering the door means receiving me as a savior. Receiving me, all my treasures, all my work. Maybe you not perceive it at that moment. But on the way after that gate, I will teach you. I will guide you. I will give you my gifts. Therefore, enter the narrow gate. Strive to go in. If that's the advice. Now we've listened to the lessons of the Lord. Then most of the people shall be. This narrow way. Let's look at it at our second point. Two types of travelers. Two gates, two ways. Two types of travelers. Everybody is on one of the ways. There's a broad way. There's a narrow way. If that's the advice of Lord Jesus, then the narrow way is very busy, and the broad way shall be hardly visited. But yet that's not the case. Lord Jesus says, many, verse 13, the bee which go in thereat at the broad way which is wide gate. Many enter the wide gate, many are on the broad way. And you can understand if you consider it. Because it's so easy to be on the broad way. Everybody by nature is on the broad way, born on it. And it's not easy to be there. You should do nothing to enter it. And it's no problem being on that. You have nothing to leave. You can just go on, live your life. And then you can warn people, oh, you're on the broad way. Maybe people outside of the church, talking about the love which is by God, trying to attract people, convincing them by the greatness of the love of the Lord and living his life. We cannot convince people, but we can try to do it. The Lord can bless it by talking about his greatness, his loving kindness, by warning. If you don't choose the narrow way, it's no good in your life. It brings difficulties. Just like Lord Jesus is warning here. Don't go that broad way. But notice, if we warn people, maybe they get angry. Am I a sinner? I'm living so neatly, so decent, so nice. There's nothing wrong in my life. How well do I... everything. And if you look at their life, maybe you say, you're right. You're a good citizen. You live a correct life. Maybe you say, oh, if my son, my daughter marries someone who is living such a life, so decent, so nice, I'm glad. In his choices of life, no public sins, and modest, and alive with, on the outside, a good career path. Yeah, that's a good choice. And maybe that's right, not to look too much from a high position on people in the world. Listen to the lessons of Lord Jesus. He said, the one who judges another judges himself. Matthew 7, verse 1 and 2. We don't have to judge another person, but we may warn. But not only men outside, and women, and children. Neighbors, family. There are also travelers on the broad way, living decently under God's commands, the Ten Commands, 600 commands of the Pharisees, the masses of Galilee. There are also people on the broad way in church. That's reality. Just taking the picture from the Sermon of the Mount, people around Jesus, to churches in 2019. That's reality. And Lord Jesus sees our hearts, knows everything from you and me. And he is searching for truth. And what's very important in what the Lord is seeking in our life, if we have been bending, if we are humbled to enter in, if our heart is changed, we can know so much of the truth. You say in English, you learn things by heart. In Dutch, you say you can learn things by head, you know? By head, and then it's not in your heart. And it's good to learn things that's in your heart, head, in your mind. But it must be in your heart, you know? In your heart. Really, in your heart. And please learn things by heart. Please do it. That's my advice. Also an urgent advice. I'm sure the Lord can and will use it. There are so many examples in Bible and in history that the Lord uses learning God's word, memorizing it, in order that it go from head to heart. The Lord changes our heart by his own word. That's his work, the change of heart. He looks at that. It's our responsibility to study, to pray, also to walk, to make choices, life choices. But many people living decently, also in the church, are on the broad way. In the time of Lord Jesus, and I'm afraid also nowadays, but it's time of grace. It's the time God's word is coming to us and says, choose. Lord says, choose. There's a broad way, two type of travelers on the broad way. There's also a narrow way. And we already saw, Christ is the door. How do we enter? Again, God changes the heart. Then we took that picture at one of the catechism lessons. And we looked at that picture of the two gates and the two paths. And if it's at your home, you can look at it. And in some of the pictures, not in every picture, is a text verse at the beginning, at the gate of the narrow path, straight way. And above that narrow gate is written on that picture, John 3, chapter 3, verse 3, what's there? It's about the changing of our heart. Unless you are born again, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. By truth, God changes our heart. And then it can be such a question of the heart. Struggling to enter, wrestling to enter, striving to enter. But did I enter? Did I really enter? Am I really on the narrow path? How can I know that? 2 Corinthians 7. Godly sorrow is working repentance, which is unregrettable. You never regret it. And leads to conversion to faith. Godly sorrow. Sorrow about sins. Humbling. Faith is humbling. It's making us little in the eyes of a high God before his majesty. It's learning is our unworthiness before his righteousness, his greatness. Humbling. But it's bringing joy. Godly sorrow is bringing joy. 2 Corinthians 7. It's so different from the sorrow of the world, of the broad way. Entering the narrow way is bringing sorrow, but on the bottom of that sorrow is joy. A joy towards God. A desire to serve him. Oh, I'm sure there are people, younger people, elder people in your midst who really know of that joy, of that desire. Maybe you're not sure, can I say I am? But look in your heart if the desire is there. If there is a joy in the things of the Lord that you cannot go through and on the wide gate and the broad way. That can no longer be the case. It has been, but it's no longer possible. It's that sorrow, that sadness in your heart and that joy in the things of the Lord. Maybe you say, I sometimes think so. But other times I see my sin coming again, and how do I know? look the lessons of the Lord in the Sermon of the Mount, the scripture we've read, Matthew 7, verse 7. Three practical advices of Lord Jesus. What?
Ask, shall be given. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you.
Just like that man in the Pilgrim's Progress of John Bunyan. No longer at home in the city of sin of the world, and seeking to enter. Look at the narrow gate in the distance, this light. And coming there, what did he do? Asking, which means praying. First advice of Lord Jesus. Seeking. Oh, his way was through mud and by own errors and mistakes. But he was brought again by the word of God, guiding on his way to the narrow gate, seeking. So, asking, first advice of Lord Jesus, that means praying, and also asking other people, elder people, younger people in the church, asking and talking about what's at the bottom of your heart, or what, how good if you're such a friend, friends around you, with whom you can talk about these things, asking, talking. Bringing your questions to Lord Jesus. Asking. Seeking. What's the way? What's the narrow way? What's your way? And then, knocking. Not being quiet alone. Knocking. Knocking on heaven's door. And then the Lord says, ask, and you shall be given. And you may go to the Lord and say, oh, it's in your word. I'm not sure what's in my heart, but in your word you say, ask and it shall be given. You may go to the Lord and say, it's in your word, seek. How to do? But I'm seeking, I'm wandering, sometimes I'm lost. But it's asked you, it's in your own word. Seek and ye shall find. I'm knocking, asking to go in, knocking. Knocking at the door. Pilgrim's Progress. The door is opened. And it's also here. It shall be opened. What a gospel. What a gospel of Lord Jesus. It shall be opened. Which means, if you cannot open itself, the Lord shall open it. It shall be opened. He shall open the door and say, here I am. Psalm 35. I am your salvation. It's me. I am the Prince of Salvation. I have been coming now. His words to Joshua. I'm the King of Salvation, the Lord of Hosts. I've been coming, I'm here, I'm now here. And if he opens that door and say, enter in, come in. Oh, it will hurt you. But you'll get so many things. It's his work. It's our responsibility. It's not sitting still. But it's what he is giving. And then entering the gate means receiving Christ and all what is in him. And this is true. After the gate is the cross. It's also on the picture. The cross is not at the gate itself. Look at the picture. Look in the book of Bunyan. He entered the narrow gate and later on he came to the cross. What's his meaning that? I said just, entering the gate is receiving Christ and all his treasures. And how can it be that the cross is afterwards it? I think that's a question of many Christians. About knowing Jesus, but not knowing so much about his works and his gifts. And I think that's the wisdom about the words of Lord Jesus, after the gate is a way, the wisdom and the experience by heart, by soul, of John Bunyan in his book, after the gate comes the cross, which doesn't mean they are apart, they're the same. In essence, they are the same. Receiving Christ is receiving everything which is in him. But also this is truth. There's much to learn. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 13b. That the Spirit will teach you, knowing the things you already received in Christ Jesus. This, so that means you receive something, but you're not aware of it. You don't know it. Just like a little child inheriting something and doesn't know the inheritance that waits. Receiving something and the ghost, the Holy Spirit is teaching in God's way, at God's time, walking the narrow way, the righteousness which is in Christ. So they're the same. But in education, they are sometimes apart. The Lord is free in that. I think in many lives they are apart. For instance, in the life of Apostle Paul, they're so close to each other. But the Lord can have his wisdom in teaching more and more. It can take a lifetime. Living from righteousness of Christ alone. And if he is making it fixed and assuring yourself in the fruits of the cross, oh, then the faith is no longer only taking refuge. Westminster Confession is speaking then of a faith which is assured, you know? That's the difference between the gate and the cross. But in essence, they're the same again. Let's sing about that. We sing Psalter 318, the verses 1 and 2. The glorious gate of righteousness throw open unto me. Psalter 318, verses 1 and 2. So an urgent advice for Jesus on the journey of life of everybody of us about two ways, about two type of travelers, and later on about two destinations. Two type of travelers. Travelers, and everybody of us is a traveler. Is traveling to an eternal destination, traveling in this life, and is of one of those ways. The narrow way, the broad way. Struggle, wrestle, strive to enter in. So heavy load, and just like that man in the Pilgrim's Progress. Heavy loaden with questions. Questions in your heart. Do I always mean what I say? Am I really true in what I express, in my words, in my thoughts? And if you're looking at that, it's just like looking at an onion and peeling off the onion. Nothing is over but tears in your eyes. Is that the problem in your life? So much which is not true. So often I mean only myself. For Lord Jesus, it's bringing tears, godly sorrow. And I say, if there's sorrow in your heart on so much which is not true, on so much which is sin, maybe a difficult word, but reality, in a confrontation with God who opens your heart, sin. Sin which is so difficult to get out of your life, you try it and you manage, but tomorrow it's back again and more. And it is a root which is so deeply rooted in your heart, that's the source of it. Oh, then you can imagine that man with that heavy burden in Pilgrim's Progress. But can you compare yourself with him? Lord Jesus says this evening, everybody who's tired and weary and heavy loaded, oh, come to me. And I may say in his name, if you think it's not for me, it is for you. It is for everybody who's hearing. The gospel is coming to you and asking for your heart, your choice, the way of life. It's a choice also tonight. What choice? Asking, praying, seeking, knocking, and what to wonder. If you can't find, oh, God is able to find you. If you can't open, oh, it shall be opened. Oh, I shall be found, Isaiah. I shall be found even from them who is not asking for me. That's also gospel. If your heart is so cold and stubborn, you can be found by me. Isaiah. Grace, only grace. And also is the gospel, it's my way. The Lord says, of asking, seeking, knocking. And what a wonder, the door shall be opened. If your hands are too cold, too frozen, too little, too short, the Lord can open, only knock. It shall be opened. At his time, Hebrews 4. Shall be helped. I'm not sure how's the King James. Shall be helped.
at due time, at God's time, at the good time, you know? I hope you only know that, not only know that by head, but by heart, by experience. At God's time, that's the good time. Wait just like all God's saints wait, with a burning heart, with desire. Pray, seek, knock. Oh, here I am. I am thy salvation. I alone. Phew. That's earnest. Grace is the gate. Christ is the gate. But few are on the narrow way. Two types of travelers. Few. Oh, what a difficult word. Not so much for our understanding, but for accepting God's truth. It's only a few who are on the narrow way. Yeah. But I think that's also gospel. Because if you experience, it means indeed few. It means two things, but indeed few. Not so much. Many people on the Broadway, but only few on the narrow. But if you experience how heavy the burden of sin is in your life, then it's a gospel that there is a door, not only a wall of impossibilities, canons of doubt. It's about that grace, really convinced of inability of man's heart to change himself, but God can. Really convinced of inability of a man himself to enter in, but God can. God opens. God draws. And then you can. A few. The few that are chosen. That's the gospel of election. The possibility of coming in. That's the gospel truth after the gospel promise. God makes it truth. God makes all His words true because He wants. That's His election. That's the few. That's the first meaning of few, but there's also another meaning of few. The Greek word few means also, has also a meaning in it. It sometimes is used also in another meaning, which is poor. And then not only few, but just especially poor people are entering. What a gospel. You don't have to be rich. You don't have to be bring things with you. You can come just as you are, as a poor sinner. Just poor people may enter in. The gate is narrow and low. Difficult is the way. But God's mercy is so great, so new, so fresh. Jeremiah, in the heart of the Lamentations, the gospel is opened. And then Jeremiah sings, "Oh, it are the mercies of the Lord, which are new every morning." Which means every day beginning with the Lord. And before you opened your Bible, it's already speaking because you have memorized it. Because the day before, the weeks before, you've memorized it. You stand up, you awake with God's word. He opens it. You've read it the evening before, brought your heart before Him. And then His mercies are every day, every morning new and fresh. For poor people, not rich people in themselves. Lord Jesus is so earnest in His words. In His education of the law, which is at the bottom gospel, God's mercy, showing His truth, God's desire for perfection. Be more righteous than the Pharisees, also in the Sermon of the Mount. Be more perfect than them. And if you miss that perfection, ask it from me. Seek it. By me. Knock at my door. Last point.
There are two ways, two type of travelers. And there are also two destinations. And the Lord is talking about the destination of the broad way. That's really earnest. He tells us, in that broad way, maybe it's a traveling of joy, but it will not end with joy. It will end with, oh, that difficult world, destruction, perishing, death, eternal death. That means being alive, but under distress, in despondence. There's a conscience which is attacking you, accusing you. So many sins, so many guilts, so many choices made wrong on the broad way. But it means death, because divorced and separated from the Lord forever. That's destruction. The Lord Jesus, he knows what destruction is. Therefore, he's warning so much against that. Therefore, I have to do it. Also, in the name of the Lord, please be aware that we are on a journey of life to an eternal destination. Don't choose that broad way and that wide gate. Maybe you say, well, I see not the destruction. I see so many with joy in their life. And that's true. You cannot see that at the beginning. Satan brings his promises to you. And he says, well, there is challenge in your life and much to do, a bucket list of a list of things to do. And do it, but forget the Lord. And I wish you a good career, many things to do in the world, but with celestial and heavenly wisdom, not forgetting that you have a soul on the journey to eternity. It will not be joy forever. Satan promises a lot, but never gives. Only for a moment. And then it's splashing, like soap in the air, a bell of soap. And then it's splashing, nothing, air. And you've got nothing. So if you go on that broad way, you see joy, smiling faces. But if you look better, oh, your eyes should be opened. You see, it's only outside, only joy on the outside. It's just like walking on a film set. Only pictures of houses, but not real houses behind it. It's just looking at the photo which is photoshopped. It looks so beautiful. But if you come at the place itself, reality is not that nice, as is promised. It's being on the broad way. Outside, glittering, blinking, but empty. Emptiness behind it. Nothing. Nothingness. And therefore, I warn you, pray for opened eyes to see and discover that in time, to know that, to confess that before the Lord. I always choose things which are idle, empty, nothing, which are promising and never giving. And you promise so much, and I don't seek it. Or if I do it for a short time, I forget it. And if you go further on the broad way, you see faces are growing older, and traces of age are on the faces. And maybe the mouth is smiling, but in the eyes you see hurt
being hurt, pain from life. And therefore, Lord says, Lord Jesus, it ends in destruction. And in going that way, there is already destruction, there is already perishing, there is already losing life. And nothing is left. Nothing. At the eternal gate, you have nothing. Nothing who's pleading. No one who's pleading for you, for your case. Because you forgot to seek the Lord really. Flee from the wrath to come. And that's possible now. Because there's another way, another type of traveler, and another destination. The other destination is life, real life. And you enter that narrow gate. It's only narrow if you come in. And just like the man with that camel, not very much can come with you entering by night. The camels should be unloaded. And if you enter through that narrow gate, you should leave sin behind you. And think about that. Sin cannot go with you. Just like the world cannot enter through the narrow gate. The world doesn't like to enter in. That's the strife, that is struggling you experience. The world cannot go on the narrow gate. It doesn't want to go on the narrow gate. It should be unloaded. You should choose now which things should be away, should be kept away, thrown away out of your life. But in this narrow gate is a gate which leads to life. Through many tribulations, God's children may enter in and go through the narrow paths, entering the celestial gate on the end of it. And God gives his lessons, Lord Jesus himself. Consider my word, Psalm 1, the opening of the Psalms. Let it be your drinking, your eating every day, just like for Jeremiah, in the Heart of Lamentations. Consider and enjoy God's law and commandments, that he may open it and draw you on the path of life. Jesus, he's the gate, he's the way. He's the person at the beginning, his treasures are at the beginning and making known, educated, taught on the way that he is God's righteousness, that he is God's sanctification, that he is God's redemption for lost, burdensome, guilty sinners in himself. Enter the narrow gate. We consider tonight two ways, two types of travelers and two destinations. And then the personal question is on which way we are. And that's a question you may answer tonight. It's a question in preparation of our eternal destination, and that's making haste, asking hurry. You don't know what's the time of leaving us. My wife and I, we have tickets already booked for traveling back to Holland. But we don't know the time of our leaving for eternal destination. Nobody of us. A friend of me in our congregation, he died last week. And the last conversation I had with him, he said, I have a burning desire to be with Jesus. To be at the sea of glass. And then I said, oh, he has been so sick. I said, then you have no more pain, no more illness, no more tears. And he said, yeah, but also no more sins. Never sinning again, you know. And he had, somebody said, such a poor life. I'm really sure he had such a rich life. And he has a rich destination, dying relatively young. Earning a rich destination. Oh, make haste. Hurry to enter in. Enter in through the narrow gate. Amen. Oh Lord, your word is so earnest and is asking so much from our hearts and our lives, our choices and everything. But it's promising so much, but we can give you so little. Only poorness, only sin, only broken promises, wrong choices, only guilt. And nevertheless, your command, your urgent advice is enter in, knock, seek, pray, ask. Oh, you shall be opened, make it true, maybe tonight. Please, Lord, help us in everything. Thank Thee for everything You gave, the opening of Your word. May it open hearts, forgive it everything what was wrong, make it full with yourself. We ask that in the forgiving of sins, in Jesus' name. Amen.